This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. You act like you don't know that song. You know, I walk in here tonight and somebody tell me that you don't have to worry about the scripture tonight. Then Brother Dunn walk up to me and say, we're not going to have any song tonight. I'm looking, I'm like, somebody playing with me again. But it is good to be here on this evening again with the invitation to come and to proclaim God's word. It is a great privilege to be able to come and to sing praises unto God and to proclaim His word. To be with the brethren here at Brown Street. It has been an enjoyable time. Dante has tried to rush things. He thinks today is Tuesday, but today is Monday. We are, I guess after today, be halfway finished with the meeting, with the sermons anyway, and the lesson. We have four more days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We encourage you to invite someone to come out to the meeting. As I say back home, and as Brother Dunn says as well, those of you that are members here or expected to be here, this is your appointed place of duty. You're members of the Brown Street. And with knowing that, you have an obligation to one another for the encouragement from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us come together to provoke unto love and good works. Thinking about verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And of course, we can't leave verse 26 out of it, where he says, if you sin willfully, there remains no sacrifice for sins. So therefore, as we know this, let us do our very best, not to please man, but to please God. For when God looked out and found Noah doing what he wanted him to do, the Bible tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the many people that were there on that day, Noah and his family were the ones that found peace or grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so that brings us to our topic, and we want you to know that as we go through the Word of God, that we want you to follow along with us. And we want you to not just take what I'm saying tonight for truth, but we would like for you to search the Scriptures to make sure, as it was said there in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they searched the Scriptures daily to make sure that was what was being said was so. And that's exactly what we would hope that you would do, that you would open your Bibles, not just here, but also open them at home and search through the Scriptures to make sure that the words that you are hearing or the words that you have heard, that those words are true. And if there's anything that you need to do to change your way of living to be pleasing in the sight of God, do that before it's everlasting too late. So tonight we are going to look at the topic of how is your worship? How is your worship? Now I want to point this out before we get into the lesson, that coming here, joining yourselves together with the saints, as I've already stated, is not the only time that you must worship God. This is in our everyday lives. You know, everything that we do, we should be worshiping God. We should be putting Him first in our lives, whether it's out there on our jobs, whether it's in our homes, or whether it's just in the grocery store, wherever you may go, that your worship It may be seen in the eyes of others that you have a God that you fear and you want to keep his commandments. As Jesus states in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But we start here tonight and we look at, and again we ask ourselves this question, how is your worship? How is our worship? In John chapter 4, the verses 21 through 24. John chapter 4, verse 21 through 24. Again, you've heard this scripture at least three or four times already during the course of this meeting. How many more times will you hear it? I don't know. Don't know. It all depends on you. So in John chapter 4, verse 21, John chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. How is your worship? Or you're worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. Or you're worshiping the Father according to what you have found in his word. See, there are many people, when it talks about worshiping God, they feel as though that they can just put forth anything that they want to, and God is pleased with it. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, and you may already know, so I'm just emphasizing it. I'm just bringing it back to your remembrance. God does not accept every worship that is presented before him. Yesterday, there were many people that were gathered together to worship God. The same God that we're worshiping tonight. They were gathered together to worship him. Were they worshiping? The answer is yes, they were worshiping. But was their worship acceptable unto God? Was our worship acceptable unto God? There are people that come to gather together with the saints, and some come for one reason or another. Why are you here tonight? Why are you here tonight? Are you here, you know, just to see, you know, who's preaching God's word? What is he going to say, or what is he going to look like? Are you here focused on the word of God to sing praises unto him, to pray unto him, to hear his word being proclaimed, and find that you are doing what you're supposed to do, so therefore you're going to continue to do it? Or you find that you're not doing what you're supposed to do and you're going to change that? Well, we're going to look at four types of worship on tonight. The first one that we want to look at is vain worship. Vain worship. Because there are some people that are worshiping God in vain. Their worship is useless. They themselves, when they present themselves before God, they themselves are worthless, because their worship is not according to God's plan. Their worship is not according to his word. We say a lot of things, and the things that we say, is there any action behind them? Isaiah stated this, and Jesus states the same thing here from Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 and through 9. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. Jesus says here, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the commandments of men. All you're giving is lip service. There's no action. Your heart is in the wrong place. Have anyone ever told you that they was going to do something for you? That they told you what you want to hear, but yet they didn't do anything about it? That's what Jesus is saying right here. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. See, all we can see tonight is the outward appearance of man. But God sees the heart of man. He knows exactly what that man is going to do. He knows exactly what that man is going to say. He knows where that man's heart is. And that's what people tell us from time to time. You know, you may go home tonight and call someone and say, hey, I miss you in worship on this evening, or I miss you on worship on yesterday. And they may say, oh, my heart was there with you. Or they may say, God knows my heart. If they ever tell you that one, that God knows their heart, here's the reply you give back to them. Yes, you're absolutely right. God knows your heart. You can tell me anything you want to. You can make up any excuse or reason why you wasn't worshiping God in the fashion that God wanted you to. And God knows your heart. You may just, you know, slide one over on man, but not on God. And that is what we need to look at, and that is what we need to consider when we talk about vain worship. Don't do things just because some man says to do those things. Have Bible for those things. You know, man can come up with all sorts of commandments that he wants you to follow. But if it's not a command that God has set forth, don't follow that command. Come away from those things. Do not allow your worship to be in vain. Do not waste your time. There are many things that we have wasted time in doing. Let it not be in worshiping God. In Matthew chapter 6, starting with the first verse. Matthew chapter 6, starting with the first verse. See, again, our worship is just not gathering together here in this assembly. Our worship is outside of these assemblies as well, doing things that God has directed for us to do. And yes, our, you know, obligation is to help those that are in need. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, therefore, as you have opportunity, you do good unto all men, especially those in the household of faith. We don't have a problem with doing good to people, for people. We don't have a problem with that. The problem is this, that many people, they miss out on their blessing because they begin to brag about what they've done. Don't nobody really care what you've done. Only the person that should care about what you've done is the person that you did it for and God. Other than that, no one else should know about those things. Yes, that person may go and tell somebody else, and that's okay. Let them tell them, but you don't be the one to tell them. Here we find in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then he continues, because prayer is part of our worship. He says in verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap on empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. How is your worship in helping others? How is your worship and praying to God? If your worship is like what Jesus is saying here, that you are bragging about the things that you have done for somebody else, he said, you have already received your reward. Don't look for any other payment. I remember back in junior high, I went and I was doing some work for a person, and I learned a valuable lesson. This little old lady, she said, you do something for someone, don't stand around and wait for payment. You go on about your business. And I knew right then, I'm gonna be honest, I knew right then I wasn't going back and raking her yard anymore. Because there wasn't no payment in that. But we need to understand that that's the way we should be when we help people, that there may not be a payment down here upon this earth, but there is a reward that waits on us in heaven. Let's not brag about what we're doing. Let's just do it because we are supposed to do it, because we are children of the Most High. Jesus did not brag about what he came to this earth to do. He came to do the will of the Father, and he did exactly that. Where is he now? He's in heaven with the Father. Where do we want to be? We want to be in heaven with the Father. Do not allow your worship to be in vain, but allow your worship to be acceptable unto God. You do what is right, and God will reward you, reward us in the end. In 2 John verse 6. You know, there are many times where we just don't love the way we're supposed to love. And again, loving is part of our worship. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to love the Father. But understand, as we look at his word, he tells us something very important right here in 2 John verse 6. He said, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment. Just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch, he says, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what you have worked for, but may win a full reward. Watch. Watch. How many times do you have to hear in God's word to watch? Not only watch, but watch and pray that you be not deceived, that you may hold on, that you may be able to allow your worship to be acceptable to him and your worship not be in vain. He says in verse 9, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teachings has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greetings, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Our worship, it entails a lot of different things. Studying God's word is part of worship. Praying to God is part of worship. Teaching his word is part of worship. All of these things go hand in hand. And we allow people sometimes to sit with us, and they want to talk about their doctrine. They want to talk about the things that they believe in. And many times we allow them to say those things, and when they leave, we may say, may God be with you. The Bible is telling us right here not to do that. Now, our friends that come and teach us a false doctrine and you look at them as they're leaving, they will tell you sometime to have a good day and make a point that I'm not telling you to have a good day as God be with you, because they don't believe that we hold the truth. But yet they believe that they have it. But we have to understand that we need to be just like they are. And we do not bid them Godspeed. We do not let them come into our homes and to teach us a doctrine that is not true. Yes, I've had people to come down the street in which I used to live on. And they would ride down, and there was those young men with those black name tags on and called themselves elders and this, that, and the other. And I'm sitting in the garage with it up, and I see them riding down through on their bicycles. And I say, come on over, let's talk. After that first talk, when they come down that street, they ride on the other side. Like, I don't want to go back in that garage. And we need to understand that that is the stand we need to take so that we may know that our worship to God is not in vain, that we're standing on the promises of God. And the things that we do are going to be acceptable unto Him because we're doing it the way He told us to do it. So let your worship not be in vain. And then we run across those that are ignorantly worshiping God. Ignorantly worship God. Again, this is just not knowing. Not knowing. But when we have said, and I just want to say this, when we have sat down and we have talked with people time and time again, and we've shown them in God's word what the truth is all about, then that ignorance or being ignorant takes on a whole nother meaning. I had an individual tell me one time, and after we had studied for 3 or 4 months, he said, "Why are you spending so much time studying with me? I am already a Christian." And we're going to talk about that on tomorrow night. But he was not a Christian. That's why I spent that time studying with him. Because I wanted him to know the truth. I wanted him to come away from false teachings. I wanted him to know exactly what God has in store for him. The truth is laid out. All we have to do is be obedient unto it. In Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, as we look here at Paul, and Paul is standing here amongst these people, and he's going to proclaim unto them the truth concerning our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So here in Acts 17, verse 22, he says, "So Paul, standing in the midst of the people of Areopagus, said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious.'" In some versions, it says very superstitious, very religious. What does that really mean? Well, he's going to break it down for us. He's going to tell us exactly what this very religious person is all about. And we ran into people like this. We ran into people that say it doesn't matter how you worship God. It doesn't matter where you worship God, as long as you're worshiping Him. Now, many of those people are ignorant. They really don't know, and they need to be taught the truth. And that's what Paul is getting ready to do for these individuals. He says, "For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" Now I want you to look at that. To the unknown God. And raise your hand, please. If anybody has a Bible where that lowercase g that's in this Bible is capitalized, raise your hand. What version are you? No, don't say. No, never mind. Don't do it. Get with me after service, okay? To the unknown God. In most Bibles, I'm just going to say this, in most Bibles, it's a lowercase g. Why? Because they worship false gods. They worship false gods. They did not know the God Almighty as far as worshiping Him in a sense that they need to just pay homage to Him. But what is Paul going to do? Is he going to stop right there? Is he going to say, "I passed by and seen this inscription"? He said, what therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind. He himself gives to all mankind. I know I read a little bit more right there, but understand the importance of this. That they were worshiping God, but they said to an unknown God. Paul said, "This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to proclaim him to you. You're going to know exactly who he is when I finish." And that's the way it should be. When someone says, "I want to learn how to worship God. I want to know who God is." We need to take the time to sit down with them and to explain to them who God is. Again, I go back several times during a course of a series of lessons, talk about Philip and the eunuch. When Philip was led to the chariot of the eunuch, he walked up on him as he was there, and he asked him a single question. Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? You know, I really have to appreciate the eunuch. The eunuch wasn't uppity. The eunuch didn't walk around with his head held high and say, I know everything. You can't tell me anything. His response was, how can I except some man guide me? And that's exactly what we need. We need somebody to guide people that are lost, that are ignorant to the word of God, to the truth, so they may be able to be obedient unto it. Then we turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we find here in Romans chapter 10, starting with the first verse, Romans 10, starting with the first verse, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. They did not submit to it, to God's righteousness, because they really didn't understand what his righteousness was all about. Again, people need to be taught how God, you know, desires to be worshipped. Why are they worshiping him? Again, he's the creator of all things. Think about the creation. The first 5 days during the creation, it mentions that those things were good. On the sixth day, it mentions that everything that God created was very good. Why not worship him? Why not learn about him and know exactly what he deserves or what he desires and what we should offer unto him? Why not? Why not? We go back again to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and we look at verse 30. Again, these individuals were worshiping an unknown God. And Paul, you know, there, he explained to them who God was. This is God that they was worshiping. Jesus the Christ, the one that was crucified. Yes, he desires to be worshiped, and he must be worshiped in order to have what we have to present to him the way he wanted to be presented. But we find that ignorance today is not going to be a factor. Come judgment, ignorance, you cannot rely on it and say, I just didn't know. So he says, the times of ignorance God overlooked. But now he commands people everywhere to repent. People everywhere, as every nation, has to repent of the things in which they had done that were wrong. Have to turn from those things and become one of his children. There's no excuse. You know, people make up a lot of excuses for not doing one thing or another. Come judgment, there's not going to be an excuse. Yes, we sing a hymn back in Louisville. I don't know if you sing it here or not, but it talks about, you never mentioned him to me. Well, maybe we won't, maybe we don't. But does that still mean that you should not read for yourself? Does that mean that you should not pick up his word and study it to find out the truth? And it maybe I didn't. Maybe the next man didn't. But you have questions, and you go to somebody and you ask the questions that you have so you may receive the answer that you need in order to be obedient unto God. And then we find this willed worship, self-willed worship. You want to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it. God didn't ask for it. But you want to present it before him, and you want him to accept it. Well, I just want you to know today that God is not. He is not the one that you can just push whatever you want to onto him and he accept it. God is not the one. So therefore, we need to understand that when God tells us to do something, again, we need to do it exactly the way he tells us to do it. But we find this in the book of Judges, chapter 17, and the verses 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. He did what was right in their own eyes. They said, you know, this is what we're going to do. This is how I'm going to worship. It has nothing to do with God, but this is what I'm going to do. Sometimes we act the same way. You know, all three of these worships, they're on the bottom. Ignorant worship, vain worship, and willed worship. We have people, you know, that fit in all these categories. We may be children of God, but there's times where we're ignorant. There are times where our worship is in vain. There's times where we have self-willed worship. When God has not asked for it, we should not present it to Him. And we're going to find that out. We talk about spirit and truth in just a moment. But let us be cautious. Let us be wary about the way that we come together to worship God. And let us not have someone else to question us, but let's question ourselves from time to time. We come here and we sit through a Bible class. We sit through a worship service and we go home. We sometimes need to ask ourselves, was my worship acceptable unto God? Did I give Him my all? How many times have you heard people say, I didn't get anything out of that? And what is the reply? What did you put into it? You ever went to the bank and tried to get money out? And there wasn't anything in there? Why? Because you didn't put anything in it. And that's the way our worship is. If we don't put anything in it, we're not going to get anything out of it. But let's not try to invent things and say, this is what I'm going to present. This is how I'm going to worship when God did not ask for it. In the book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perish as they are used according to the human precepts and teachings. Verse 23 of Colossians 2. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity in the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. You invented those things. You made up those things. Self-made religion. How many times have you met someone like this? That everything that they're doing does not cause them to change, but it is allowing them to get worse and worse. How many people have you met like that? You know, we've met some people in our day. We've talked to some people that just don't want to serve God, but they want to say what I'm doing is okay in His eyes. But yet they're moving further and further away from the truth because it's a self-made religion. A self-made religion. You know, we need to understand what James says as far as religion. He says, pure religion and undefiled before God is this. And he tells us to visit the widows and the orphans in their time of need. And, see, we forget that last part. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You think self-made religion is something that's going to keep you unspotted from the world? No. You know, people say, oh, man wrote that book. I want to ask you this question right now. If you had the opportunity to write this book, would you condemn anything that you like doing? Man wouldn't do that, would he? No. No way. We wouldn't put in there, I shouldn't do it. I'm not going to name those things because let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. No, you don't have to turn there. But it talks about a whole lot of different sins there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 9. And what it says at the end of what was there, I believe around about 11 to 12, where it talks about, and such were some of you. Well, if we had the opportunity to write this book, we'll still be that way because we wouldn't condemn ourselves because it would be a self-made religion. Any and everything goes. I mentioned yesterday in Bible class about perverted Bibles. Any and everything goes. They're not going to condemn what they're doing. It's a self-made religion. But God He condemns sin. God hates sin. But man, self-willed religion, he's not going to condemn what he's doing. He's going to say, it's okay to do it this way. It's okay to do it that way. Oh, if you want to go out and do those things, go ahead and do those things. It goes back to those religious groups out there that say once saved, always saved. Which means once you become saved, you can do whatever you want to. God is not going to, you know, tell you you can't come into heaven. But I want you to know something. Heaven belongs to God. And yes, God will tell you that you cannot come in. You are not invited in because you did not live the way that you were supposed to live. Here we are again, talking about these different types of worship. And I want to ask you one more time before we say this last verse here dealing with this self-willed worship. How is your worship? How is your worship? In John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? What must we do? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So no longer do you look at that self-will worship then, do you? No, you look at what God says. You obey his word because, again, I mentioned that this word must is not found very many times in God's word. But when you see it, you need to take note of it because they're the one that asked the question. Then what must we do or what must we do? Men and brethren, what must we do? What shall we do? And Jesus, again, he's not afraid to tell them. This is the work of God. That you believe in him whom he has sent. You know, who better to tell you about themselves than that person? Jesus is talking about himself here. You believe in me. Don't worship the way you want to worship. You believe in me. You believe in what the Father has sent or who the Father has sent. You believe in him and you'll be okay. That will remove all of that self-willed worship. That will take care of all of those things because now we're focused on the Word of God and we want to move to doing the things that God is pleased with. So what does that leave? That leaves us worshiping in spirit and in truth. That leaves us not looking at what the world is doing and wanting to be like them, but wanting to be more like Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. See, there are those times where, yes, we want to be like everybody else. But the God that we serve has already pointed out that he don't want us to be like everybody else. He wants us to be separate. He wants us to be different. We are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. We need to start acting like it. And we need to look at our worship and we need to know that our worship is acceptable to God. The question is asked from time to time, how can you know that you're saved? By doing what God tells us to do. Yes, we can know that. But some say you can't know it. But yes, we can. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We're going to stop right there. You present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, what type of sacrifices did God accept? He accepted that which was perfect, without spot, without blemish, not being blind, not being lame. That which was perfect. That's the type of sacrifice that God accepted. Well, when he tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, what state must we be in? We must be perfect. We don't come to worship God, you know, with sin running rampant in our lives. Yes, we may come to the assembly and ask for forgiveness of sin so that our worship may be acceptable, but we don't sit there and say, you know, I'm worshiping God. And at the end of the service, we're repenting of sin. I want to ask you. You just sat through an hour of worship. Sin running rapid in your lives because you haven't gotten right with God yet. Was your worship acceptable unto God? Was it acceptable unto God? See, that's just a question that, I'm asking you. Because I want you to understand the importance and know what separates us away from God. Sin does. What brings us back to God? Repentance does. But if you're here and you're not a Christian, and you're going through these worship steps in which we go through, we talk about five, acts of worship on a Sunday morning, but I want you to know that there are six. Assembling is the first one. And we could say seven, get your mind right before you ever assemble. And then you pray, you partake of the Lord's Supper, you give, you sing, and you hear His word being proclaimed. But yet you have sin running rapid in your lives. You have not become one of His children. Your worship is not acceptable. Or if you are one of His children and you have not done what is right and pleasing before Him to get your sin straight with Him, your confession made before Him, your worship is not acceptable to Him. Then we look here in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewer of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Again, he tells us this is our reasonable service, or this is our spiritual worship. So we're here today to worship God. If you have sin in your life and it is not a public sin, get that right with God right now. Get it right with God right now. See, I've had people, we talk about obeying the gospel. And yes, I'm a preacher, just like Brother Dunn's a preacher. And there's other preachers here as well that at the end of our lesson, we extend the invitation. But I want you to know, anytime you feel as though you need to be obedient unto the gospel, you need to make a confession, you need to get up and you need to do that. I've had someone in the middle of my sermon get up and they come down front and they want to obey the gospel. I quit preaching, take their confession, and get ready to baptize them. And then I continue to preach. Why did I do that? I did that because I've read Acts chapter 2. I know what Peter and the other apostles did right there. I know that he was interrupted during his sermon and they asked men and brethren, what shall we do? And he told them what they were supposed to do. And then he says, with many other words, that exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. See, what I want tonight, I want you to understand the importance of your worship being acceptable unto God. How is your worship? Are you worshiping Him in spirit and in truth? Again, if we are trying to fit in the world, your worship is not going to be acceptable. But if we present our bodies before Him as a living sacrifice, that we have cleansed our bodies of sin, that God will accept our worship. Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse is 21. Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse is 21. And he says, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, I believe that as we look at His word and we see what Paul is talking about right here, as far as putting that old man aside and having that new man put on, that's the only way God is going to accept our worship, is that we are new. When we come before Him all the time, and there are some times where we might not be as new as we were on yesterday, but there are those other times where we are just as new. because we have confessed our faults. And now we are perfect again before Him. And He accepts what we're asking Him, and He's accepting what we are putting before Him, our worship. Is God accepting your today? In John chapter 8, verse 32, John chapter 8, verse 32, start with verse 1, verse 31. John 8, 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth will set you free. The same holds true today. The truth will set us free. If we abide in his word, we are truly his disciples. If we have Him, if we abide in Him, we have not just the Father, but we also have the Son. And if we have the Father and the Son, we're going to love one another. And we're going to bring it to one another's attention. When we see somebody not doing what they're supposed to be doing, that their worship may not be acceptable unto God, that we may go to them, we may talk to them, and they may get those things straightened out before it's everlasting too late. Because we will give an account on that last day. How will you be judged according to your worship? Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God. Again, we want to try our very best to encourage you to quit looking and listening to what man says and open up the book and see what God says. Listen to Him. Salvation is in no other name but the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. And let's just read what Peter and the other apostles said on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 36. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 36. He said, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." He says, "When they heard this, they were pricked or cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, to those that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call.' With many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this untoward generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers." See, it's important that we realize what one must do in order to be obedient unto the word of God. I mentioned the other day, hearing is not enough. Believing is not enough. Confessing is not enough. Repenting is not enough. But being baptized is what will put you, what will add you to the body of Christ, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. "Praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The Lord adds to the church. You don't join the church. You add it to the church. And then you join yourself to some local congregation. So we need to understand that baptism is what puts us into Christ. Baptism, again, is what washes away our sins. Baptism is what makes us Christians, followers of Christ, because of the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. "Go and preach to every creature, every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that believes not will be condemned." So yes, believing is necessary, but baptism is as well. So if you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, quit delaying quit waiting and rise, as Ananias told Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. See, there's a responsibility that we have once we become children of His, and that is to continue to learn what He wants us to do. That is to continue to study and help someone else out, that they too may become a child of God or be afforded that opportunity to become a child of God. And if you're here and you're strayed away, don't stay out there in the world, but come back in and ask for the prayers of the congregation or make your confession so that your worship may be pleasing unto the Father. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.